All right, listen up, guys, listen up. So two things tonight. Shh, shh, shh. We're gonna have, we're gonna do it a little bit different than we have done in the past. Last year I spoke to you guys, you know, about hell and everything. The years before that, I actually had like some of our kids from youth group get up and talk to. This year is kind of new. We had a great amount of seniors, a large class that was graduating, leaving youth group. So I wanted everyone that was, you know, a part of the youth group for a while or been a part of the ministries that we've been doing since we've been like knowing the guys from Lincoln and St. Louis and everywhere like that, just to be able to have a chance to share what God's done in their life and spread that out with all you younger kids coming up, just so that, you know, they've been in your shoes, they've been in your seats where you're sitting, and now they're about to graduate and move on out and keep their relationship with God, their service for Him going just at a different level. So I wanted those guys to have a chance to express what was important to them when they were in your shoes, what they think some of the most important lessons are to pass on. And so hopefully you guys, you know, that want to listen to that and, you know, take heed, you can glean from them and be able to you know, maybe avoid some of the issues that they ran into, jump ahead of the game, and just be that much more prepared for when you're in their spot. So the other thing I want to do tonight, I want to see how well we know our hymns without a hymnal. So this is going to be, yeah. So we'll see how many verses we can get, but in between a couple of these guys, we'll have a couple of them go, then we'll take a break and sing a couple of hymns just to keep it light, and we'll just start like that. So before we get started, who has a hymn they think we can start singing
Jamie,
from memory? John said it.
I am heading to
what's this? All right, easy one to start with. Everybody, you guys want to stand up or sit down?
Okay, thank you.
All right, stand up. Stand up.
What song is it? What do you say?
Amazing.
All right, listen up here. Here we go. We're going to do it old school style out in the country. Here we go. Years when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when garden, in the campfire. Here we go. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear calling on my ear, the Son of God is with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I stay in the garden with him, for the but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling.
talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Let's do one more before our first speaker.
All
right, she wants it as well. It is well. Here we go. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin,
oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross.
Guys,
it is well
with my soul.
It is well. It is well with my soul.
Last verse.
And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and my Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well.
My soul,
it is well. It is well with my soul.
All right, guys, our first guy coming up tonight. Probably been with us longer than almost anyone out of this group. A lot of people know him formerly as AJ's brother. Let's welcome Cody Patrick up here, guys.
All right, so tonight I'm not going to take too much of your time. It's going to be small, simple, straight to the point. I'm not really going to turn anywhere in the Bible. I'm just going to give a quick testimony because this past year has been a little up and down for me. I came to camp. I was on fire for the Lord. And I'm just telling you this testimony because I'm just letting you guys know, no matter, like Zach said, I've been here a long time. I've been in the Word. I've been going to church my whole life. Just because I've been going to church my whole life doesn't mean I don't make mistakes. It's easy for any of us just to step outside these gates and go right back to the world and then fall into the world and then just get sucked up by it and fall further and further away from the Lord. And that's what happened to me. I came to camp. I was on fire for the Lord. I was loving every single minute of it. And I didn't know, like, how true it was when Bob and everyone says, when you step outside these gates, the devil is waiting right there for you. Immediately. I walked outside those gates and not a week went by and I was doing the wrong thing, hanging out with the wrong crowd. My mindset was, oh, my best friend AJ, he's not in high school with me anymore. I need new friends. I've never made friends myself, really. I've always been with him. I started picking the wrong crowd, hanging out with the wrong people, when I should have been hanging with all you guys, my true friends, my true family. I started doing stuff I shouldn't have been doing. I started cussing. I started just skipping church on purpose to hang out with the wrong crowd just because I wanted to feel cool. I was a cool kid. I was part of, like, all the wrestlers, all the football players. I was a big part of their lives. I was going to parties with them. I didn't know that parties were exactly like the movies, basically. Kids are doing drugs. They're drinking. I never really thought of it like that. I've never went to one. I went to one, and then I was just usually the guy just there hanging out. I felt super uncomfortable. I knew I was in the wrong, and I did nothing about it. I just kept doing it. I was like, well, this is what I'm doing now. Nothing really, like, stopped me from doing it. I kept getting further and further away from the Lord. And then last year, Bob, he said that you're going to want to do your own thing. The Lord's just going to take his hand right off you, let you go right out into the world, see where you get with that. And he's going to hit you with some stuff that's going to try to turn you back in the right direction and put you in your place and know, oh, crap, I need to serve the Lord. He's the right way to go in this whole life. What am I doing? And that's exactly what he did to me. Last day of summer, I'm working. I don't want to be working. I'm cussing. I'm trying to figure out every excuse I can to leave that place. I'm having the worst attitude. My testimony is going right down the drain for that work. I'm doing the wrong thing. They all know it. I get hit by a go-kart, and I take that as a sign of the Lord trying to turn me back in the right direction, because that whole summer I was doing the wrong thing. And I didn't take that sign. I just went off, did my own thing. I thought I was invincible after that. I didn't break a bone. I didn't die. I didn't get paralyzed. I was like, well, that's just an accident. I'll get a lot of money out of a lawsuit. Cool for me. I'll be big balling, have a nice car, do whatever I want. No. I started going deeper and deeper down the wrong path. I started doing a lot more stuff I shouldn't have been doing. I was supposed to go... No, never mind. I was at school. I was always skipping, except one class, and that was welding, because that's what I really just like to do. I had 2 years perfect attendance there. I'm on my way to school one morning. I get a ticket. Pretty mad, upset about it. I'm going, get to school. I'm in school for about 5 minutes. I'm doing bell work. Get called to the front office. I get OSS. It took my 2 years perfect attendance away. It really crushed me. Took that as another sign from the Lord just saying, hey, like, I'm trying to push you back in the right direction. Go back to church. Get in touch with all your friends. You guys are my closest friends, and I just dropped you just like that because I wanted to go hang out with the world. Because they saw something in me that I thought I had, but I really didn't have. I just dropped you guys like that, and it killed me just to be around you after that because I felt like I let you all down and you couldn't trust me. He takes me out of school. I could have easily been kicked out of school and never graduated. Glory to God, he didn't just try to put me back in the right direction, get me in trouble by my parents and have them really have a deep talk with me because I was always avoiding them. I was never home. He let me go back to school when I could have easily been a dropout in high school and had nowhere to go in life. I could have been a homeless guy on the street and you guys handing out hot dogs and tracks to me. Okay? And I don't want that. It's not a place where I don't do well with people handing food out to me. It's got to be a certain thing. I'm picky. I just got to the point where I was doing stuff like the worst stuff in the world. I can't believe I did it. Looking back at it, I don't even know what I was thinking. It was just one of those things that I was part of the cool kids. I felt like AJ and me just drifted apart because he was super mean to me. He had a girlfriend. He thought he liked her more than me. I was just always mad at him at that point. His birthday party. surprise birthday party. I'm supposed to go to it. I lied to my whole family. I said, hey, I have to work. Get in my work outfit, leave the house. There was a big party happening tonight, and I wanted to go to that. So my own brother's birthday party, hang out with church people. I wanted to hang out with the wrong crowd where people were smoking, drinking, doing all this bad stuff. I go to a Target just to, you know, get some stuff. I get caught stealing something, and that's when the Lord really was like, you know what? You're going to go right down this path. I was like, I'm going to turn you around and send you right back up and get you the help you need. I sat there in Target, wait for the cops to show up or my mom to show up. The guy told me, he goes, if you get this cop, he'll probably just give you a ticket and send you on your way. If you get this cop, you're going to jail. I'm freaking out. I started praying to the Lord, haven't prayed to the Lord in who knows how long at that point. I started apologizing, just asking for his mercy and just to save my, like, to save me. Just, I'll get right back on the right track. The right cop comes in, gives me a ticket. I go to AJ's party because my mom forced me to after that. And just all this stuff happened. Then I met with Bob, met with Bryson Lauren, what's his last name? Neihart. I couldn't remember his last name. I meet with them quite a bit just to, like, you know, help me through it. Just like Bob was saying, that you got to get those groups to hold you accountable. That's what they are. And now I have Logan and Dylan to hold me accountable, and we really just hold each other up, and hopefully that this will not happen to any of us or me again, because I don't want to go back down that path. And the point to this whole thing is just, I thought about it, and I was going to do a bunch of stuff, and I decided just to do my testimony, because that was my past year, and the roughest year of my life, honestly. I just don't know what got into me, just the world, and just thinking I was cool, I guess. And going back through this, I was just trying, I probably wrote 8 devotions before I came up with this thing, just to do my testimony, and I crumbled them all up and threw them in the trash, because something was telling me, just get this off your chest, let everyone, like, hear what you got to say about it. And I'm going to throw my, for the ending, I'm going to throw my, one of my favorite verses, it's Psalms 119:105, and thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And that's exactly what I didn't have for that whole time. I didn't have this thing leading me at all. I dropped this thing like a ton of bricks. I didn't read it at all. I didn't go to church basically at all. If I was there, I wasn't paying attention. I dropped all those friends that I had just like that. They were the worst things in the world for me. Once I dropped them and got back in the Bible, I started climbing and climbing and climbing back into the Word. And it's been the past couple months since that's happened. It's been the great, like, best time of my life. I have all you guys back in my life, all my closest friends, my family. Don't have anyone else to worry about dragging me down. All I have is you guys lifting me up. And I just don't want you guys going down the path I went. It's not going to be the same path as me. But just remember, when you step outside those gates, the devil's waiting for you. Yo, throw him a right hook, knock him to the ground, and keep going. Amen.
Okay. All right, guys. Kaylin, come on up here. So, Kaylin came into the church not too long after I did. Her and Sierra, man, they're just like these two little cute pumpkin-headed little girls coming in here, just always so energetic and everything like that. And it's been such an awesome time for me just to watch these guys grow up. And so I can't wait to hear what she's got for you guys and what she's got to share with you. All right, go ahead, buddy.
Hi, guys. My name's Kaylin, and I'm going to be giving you guys a devotion and share a little bit of my testimony just like Cody did. I just transitioned out of a season that many of you guys may be going through right now. Let me tell you guys, it goes by so incredibly fast. I just graduated high school last May, and this is my last year as a camper. Life blew many storms my way. I've been saved since I was 11, and growing up as a young Christian, I gravitated to my friends at school. I had just started middle school, and I don't know about you guys, but like middle school was a huge cringe moment for me. I'm not proud of the person I was back then. I listened to bad music, wore way too much makeup, had an attitude with my parents, and basically did anything to get attention. It's funny because a lot of my friends told me they went to church, but by the way they acted, I was very surprised by that. And anytime I had a problem, I'd run to my friends. They would try to give me their best advice, but nothing they ever said fixed the problems I had. The difference between how they helped me and how we need to deal with problems as a Christian is they had their emotions involved. When we have problems, we need to rely on the principles that God gives us. Relying on our emotions will just keep us staying stuck in the same problems that we were just in. A lot of times we bring these storms on ourselves, and that just comes from the choices we make. Out of all the emotional chaos happening around me, I do remember having one thing constant in my life, and it was this church, Old Paths. Church camp really started to make me assess my life. I started to weigh my school friends versus my church friends, and I realized that my friends at school were just the ones who were bringing me down, whereas my friends from church were the ones that had been there the whole time. I knew that I needed to make changes in my life. By letting go of my worldly friends, I found myself more present at church. The noticeable changes I saw in myself was my conversations, the way I acted, my appearance, the music I listened to, and most of all, my heart attitude. None of these changes I made were easy, but the harder thing to do and the right thing to do are always the same thing most of the time. There are only two things in this world worth investing in, and it's the Word of God and the souls of men. Having the Word of God as the foundation in my life provided answers to all of my problems. Proverbs 12, verse 3 says, "A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved." A hymn that I was thinking about as I was writing this devotion was "My Anchor Holds," and I heard one of you guys suggest it, Keo. I'm really sorry we didn't sing it, but I'm not going to be singing it for you, but the last verse of the song is, "Troubles almost whelm the soul, griefs like billows o'er me roll. Tempters seek to lure astray, storms obscure the light of day. But in Christ I can be bold, I've an anchor that shall hold." Christ needs to be that anchor in our life. And just like Bob preached about, the perfect storm's going to come in our life. Will we let it consume us? We need to be like a palm tree in a hurricane. Their roots are so deep that a storm can bend them, but they'll never break. As Christians, we need to have a firm foundation so no matter what storms blow our way, we will not be moved. The hurricane is going to be a picture of the world, and the roots holding us there are going to be the principles that God gives us through His Word. Having God as my foundation also gave me a new perspective. Looking at all those kids from school, I realized that all of them were lost. Who knows if anyone's tried to witness to them? All I know was that I saw an opportunity to share with them what changed my life. And you know, guys, it is never too late to redeem the time. And an example of something I did just this past year, my senior year, was during lunch, I'd ask the people that I sat with if they'd like to pray with me. And yes, almost every single time I got rejected. And it wasn't until the end of the school year that the girls started slowly, some of them came and prayed with me. And I was very thankful for that. And at the very last day of school, everybody at my table was like, "Okay, what the heck, Kaylin? You always ask. Let's pray." And so we did. And, The point is, I stayed consistent the entire time. I didn't let what they say make me fearful of asking them if they wanted to pray again. And the things that you stay consistent in are going to be the things that speak volumes to the people around you. And the thing that spoke volumes to me was the fact that this church, my friends, you guys at Old Paths, were always consistent in my life, even though I wasn't consistent to you guys. And my school friends dissipated, just like everything else in this world. But the real ones, you guys, were the ones that stayed. One thing that Barb Alexander, Pastor Bob's wife, gave to my mom, then my mom passed down to me, she said, "Don't waste the hurts." We're going to make mistakes. That's life. But what you choose to do after that is going to determine whether you're a victim or you're victorious. None of you are at this church camp by accident. If God got your attention in any way, assess your life. Listen to God and change the things that are holding you back from growing and moving forward. Invest in the things that are going to last. God is the only thing that's eternal. Are the friends that you have in your life edifying you? I believe that you are who you hang out with. Investing more time in my church friends grew me as a person. Now I get the chance to be that friend to somebody else. And I'm going to leave you guys with this last verse, Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so as a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. If your friends aren't growing you, then they're just going to be holding you back. That's all I have.
All right. Not too long ago, we got the opportunity to reach out to a new family out in Lincoln, Nebraska. And Logan Miller, come on over, man.
Yeah.
You know, we got to see this guy grow from a handful to, you know, a great guy that loves the Bible and loves, you know, getting into his book. One of my favorite guys to talk to about Bible things. So, Logan, go ahead and give us what God's put on your heart, man, and we'll move on after that.
All right. So every year for the past several years, coming to camp has been something I've always, like, really looked forward to. It's been the probably the biggest thing of the year I'd get excited about. And when I found out that the theme this year was overcoming, I got really excited because I know that's something I've always struggled with, was overcoming certain things in my life, and more specifically overcoming failure. So for me, failure and coming up short and laying people down is like the thing I hate the most out of like anything. There's nothing I hate more than coming up short and not feeling I'm not doing as much as I could be doing. And I feel like I've let that get the best of me. Let that get the best of me over like throughout my life. But the thing is that failure is not always a bad thing, because that's how we grow. And a couple of weeks ago, John Bisquet, he gave a devotion at softball, and he said something that really stuck in my head. And he said that you can't rewrite yesterday, but you can rewrite tomorrow. So those failures that you had yesterday, they shouldn't hold you back from what you do tomorrow. In fact, they should strengthen you. Something I find interesting is almost every great Bible character almost every great Bible character, they let down God in some way. They failed God in some way. I'll give you a few examples. Moses was a murderer. David, he was a murderer too. He also committed adultery. Jacob, he was a deceiver. He was a liar. He was a thief. Peter, throughout many times he had anger issues. And the devil will do anything possible to get you to believe that you aren't qualified because of your failures. But what I find interesting, and there's many more examples, those are just a couple that I picked, but every one of those men, they overcame it, and we view them in a different and a better way. When we look back at Jacob, we don't think of him as his name Jacob, which meant deceiver, but we think of him as his new name that God gave him, which was Israel, which means triumphant with God. We don't remember Moses as a murderer, but rather the man who delivered Israel and took them right up to the promised land. We don't remember David as a murderer and an adulterer, but we remember him as the greatest king that Israel ever had next to Jesus Christ. We don't remember Peter for his anger issues, but rather as one of the inner three disciples closest to Jesus. Every single one of these guys, they let God down with certain things that they did, but they didn't let that their failures get the best of them. And especially for me, I think that's something that I need to look at for examples of not letting the failures get the best of me to where I want to give up. Growing up in Nebraska, like by default, I'm a giant Nebraska football fan, and one of the phrases that they always say is "no fear of failure," and that's because they know that it's a failure that teaches you what you're doing wrong, and it teaches you how to get better, because without those failures you wouldn't learn. And so every single day that God gives us is another opportunity to overcome those failures. And this camp is a huge opportunity that God's given us to overcome the things in our life, and overcome our past failures, and really be something for God. And just one last verse that kind of goes well with it. That the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:8, it says, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof." Because it's not about how you start. It's a growing process. Failure is something that you're gonna have to go through over and over again until you've God strengthened you to become who He wants you to be. But just remember, don't let those failures get the best of you, and do not dwell on them.
Amen.
You get lost there for a second?
Yeah.
No, you're good.
You did great, dude.
So along with Logan, he's got a friend that he brought to camp a couple of years back, and it was funny. I was kind of walking around trying to figure out which seniors had responded back to me that they wanted to speak. I just randomly asked this guy, I was like, "Hey, man, so did I include you on this list?" You know, and his eyes got all big. He's like, "Oh, what? What are you talking about?" And I was like, "You know, the seniors are coming up to speak." And he's like, "No," but he's like, "I'm fine. I'll get up and say something, you know, if you want." So when we came down here to the campfire, this is the first he heard about it. He still wanted to get up and say something to you guys. So here's Blake Welch, guys.
So if there's one thing that I've really discovered over the past like 4 years, pursuing different passions like other than God, is that if I'm not willing to give whatever it is up over God, then I should not be able to pursue this passion. If I am more passionate, or if I'm not willing to give something up for God, then I should not be pursuing it in the first place. And so I think that's just something we should be able to keep in our minds, keep in our lives, even, you know, past this camp, is that even when we have these different diversions in our life that are distracting us away from God, if we're not, and we have these different loves in our life, are we able to, if would we be able to give it up for God at any moment, even after all this time invested in whatever we're trying to do? And then one thing I've also struggled with kind of in high school is that, you know, if you do the same sin over and over again, if you make the same mistake over and over again, just it's hard to come back to the Lord, because you're almost embarrassed, because it's like you have to learn the same lesson over and over again. And it's almost like, I don't know, when you repeat that same mistake over, it's almost like you can't be forgiven. But I always have to go back to 1 John 1:9, which is, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And so no matter what mistakes we make, just going back to that central theme of we are literally closer to Jesus when we are weak and when we realize that we make mistakes. It's like He must grow and I must shrink. It's the smaller that we get and the more that we realize that we need Jesus and we can't do it on our own. And there's a certain point where you reach that it's not all about willpower. It's about trusting the Lord that He will take you the rest of the way, and trusting that He is going to lead you on the right path. And so I think that's just something that we need to keep in our minds past camp, just to learn to trust in the Lord and trust that He is going to guide us on the right path if we put our trust in Him. So,
amen.
That's all I have.
All right, guys. Those of you that have been to Old Paths this last year, you know, one of the big things that we got to do and one of the big endeavors was bringing one of our own homeboys home. You know, he's been from Washington down to Texas, and now we got him, you know, where I think he should have always been, right here in Kansas City. So, Dylan, come on here, man, and share with us what the Lord's put on your heart, bro.
Can you set the time on your phone?
What's that?
Can you set the time on your phone?
I don't really have time. I'm recording everything, but
right,
it's starting at 34, so I'll touch it. You can just touch it to see where you're at.
Yeah. Hey, y'all. So, yeah, I just want to
share some things that have just been coming like really apparent to me in my life. Even just over this last, you know, couple of weeks, just being here in Missouri. Just want to share some with you guys real fast. So, some insight. I came to this camp, like, it's my fourth camp here. First year I came here, I actually ended up getting saved, praise the Lord. Just definitely one of the best opportunities for all of us here is to be here at camp. Never in my life, I honestly believe that you will never be in a place that you're going to get the word of God preached to you. And God's not going to break you down any other place besides here, honestly. And it's what we all need, you know. We go through the year and we go through our lives and so many things come up. Sometimes we need a good smack in the face from God, you know, just to show us really where we're at. And I know that's what this is. This place does for me, this camp does for me, this church does for me. And it's crazy, almost every year, I feel like, even though Bob's preaching all of us, God's talking directly to me. And it's an amazing thing. I feel like, you know, that's how the Bible should be preached, and that's how people's lives are changed, and the Word of God gets out there. You know, we need that conviction. We need to see where we're at and be honest with ourselves. So, one second. So, big thing in my life that has been just really just so clear to me is, and it's funny because Bob really preached this whole thing today, and we've been talking about it, is the relationships we have and the people we keep around us. And I know for me, like Zach was telling you guys, I moved here from Texas. And, you know, every year I leave camp, and it's true, the devil's waiting right out off of 40 High. He's waiting for you guys, man. I get out feeling great, you know. I'm on a spiritual, I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm doing all these things for the Lord. And I get back out there, and I fly back home, dude. And sure, it lasts for a week, you know. And then sure enough, man, I'm losing touch with my disciples, and I'm falling back into all these old things, you know, all the world things, all these evil things that they're just ungodly and unright, you know, after knowing what Jesus Christ did for me after my salvation. And it's hard because being in Texas, I was by myself. Sure, I had these guys over the phone, but that's a different story when I can hit decline on their calls, you know? So some of you guys have heard kind of a testimony. You know, I ended up moving out here, right? Just a verse I want to give you guys real fast is Psalms, I believe, yeah, Proverbs 11, verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And this verse has just been like something that I read and just really hit me, and it just made so much sense. You know, being back in Texas where I was, where I didn't have counsel, I didn't have people that were wanting to serve the Lord and live for God, and I didn't even, you know of a church there that had that. And then being here, just being here the last, you know, 4 months, the Lord has just been doing so many amazing things in my life, and giving me so many blessings and opportunities that I don't deserve at all. You know, I would say, like I said, 3 years going to camp, I come back, go back home, and I'm doing the wrong things. It's almost like, you know, like Cody was saying, man, I felt like God took his hand off me, you know, 1 year, and was just like, all right, so what are you going to do? See how it gets you. Like, that was probably the worst time of my life, you know, where I just felt so sad and lonely and empty and just nothing. So then coming here, you know, it's been, I came here, because, you know, my biggest thing was I wanted to learn the Word of God. I understood that nothing in this world lasts or matters besides, again, this book and the souls of men. That's the only thing that's going to be eternal for us, guys. So I knew that this was a place where I can get that. And sure enough, you know, we got some of the best counselors, one of the best pastors, you know, out here, you know, preaching the Word of God. And having people, having friends, where we're not partying, we're not drinking, we're getting in our Bibles. You know, we're talking about things that are honoring the Lord. We're not falling into all this other stuff in the world. Sure, we have like ups and downs, we're imperfect, but it's different. And that's so vital. That's been so vital for me in my life with the Lord, and my relationship with the Lord, is building these friendships, you know, having counselors, people that I can be around that have the same mindset and same belief and same goal as me, you know, as serving the Lord and trying to understand my Bible. And one of my best friends here, for example, Logan Oring, has been such a vital person in my life, man. You know, I mean, usually I'm hanging out with him every day, but we're getting in the Word, and we're just in fellowship with each other. And that's helped me more than anything in my life. You know, I've been in and out of churches, but I've never had a steady growth, you know. And so something that just made this more apparent to me of how important these relationships are that we have with these people, these good counsels, I guess, is, you know, I just came back from Texas. I just got back from Texas, getting my car. And, you know, I'm thinking in my head, like, this is the first, you know, first test for me. You, like, see how you do, Dylan. And I made a lot of mistakes out there. Just, it was so crazy how fast everything came back in. It's so, like, you know, I was just being attacked almost, it felt like. So, you know, I made some mistakes out there. I was doing things I shouldn't have done. But the Lord showed me how fast and easy that can happen. And it's so big to have the right influences in our life and the right people in our life. Because like Bob said today, man, you know, real friends, you know, real friends, what do we think real friends are? People who got our backs, people who aren't going to snitch on us, people who are going to keep it real with us. Like, you know, those people are so temporary. You know, we need friends like Logan Oren, people who don't care about your social status, but they're worried about where you are at with the Lord. Amen. And they want to care. They care about your spiritual being, where you're at with God. And that's where they want to see you grow, that where they take joy in those moments. They don't have to go to parties or go do things like, man, just sitting in the Bible, getting fellowship. That is the best thing you can do with people. And that's what God wants us all here for, is to have fellowship with each other, with each other, to be a big army and get out there and spread the word, you know? So, and then one thing, you know, how many people, I don't know if we have, how many people got saved this week? Anybody get saved? All right, I see one back here, right here. Amen. Amen. So, yeah, that is, you know, that's a blessing from God. Amen. Praise the Lord. But just know, and it's so real, you hear us say it, but I guarantee you all of us kids here have gotten saved here and gone right back out after camp. I know for me, I've fallen on my face. And that's why it is a blessing that we're getting groups together to have accountability groups and support groups. We all need these people. We can't do it alone. I couldn't. I know I couldn't do it. I fell on my face and definitely dishonored God and just didn't do it right. So that's why it's important that we all, like, we come together and we hold each other accountable. Another verse I just want to have is Proverbs 27, verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And in the Bible, you learn that there are good wounds. You know, I have, like I said, I have Logan, my buddy Logan. Great guy to have around. For another example, you know, I'm friends with a lot of you guys, but these are just guys that I'm spending time with outside of church, you know, more frequently. A buddy Sergio of mine. You guys know Sergio. He's a helper this year. You know, spending time with the guys, you know, you get more comfortable with them and you build a brotherhood, you build a bond with these guys. And I love it because these guys are not afraid to call me out. Right. And when they do, you know what? I love it. You know, some of us, we get called out for our stuff and we're like, oh, like, man, forget that person. Call me out in front of everybody. Yeah, you're cool, whatever. But no, man, there are good ones. There are faithful ones. Faithful are the ones of a friend. You know what? This guy right here, and I believe a lot of you guys have my best interest. I hope so. Because you know what? We should be able to do that for all of each other. When we're at fault, when we're doing things we're not supposed to be doing, when we're out of fellowship with God, and anything that can hinder or, you know, just help keep us from growing with the Lord, we need to be able to point that out and say, hey, you know what, man? I just saw this. You know, maybe should you be doing this? You know, is this going to help you with the relationship? Those are the best friends, in my opinion. Those are the best friends who are going to be there to call you out. And, you know, it's big on us to not take it to offense, you know, because you got to realize, you know, those people are there to support you and love you. And if they want to see you grow in the Lord, that is the best friend you can ever have, in my opinion. That is absolutely the best friend you can have. So, yeah, just leave off, you know, guys. It's been apparent to me that we can't do it alone. We need these people in our lives, and we need to be there for each other. We need to have faithful wounds for each other and love each other, because the world, you know what? The world wants to go out and deceive you. Your friends that are in school, you know, having a good time with them, like, they want to deceive you. They don't care. Some of them don't even know about the Bible or about salvation. They don't even understand. But it's crazy how the world is designed just to be against us. So, I mean, that's what I have for you guys. I just hope it's a blessing, you guys. So, amen. Thank you.
Well, you can tell when someone's going to be a preacher, they can't stop talking like that about the Lord, man. So that's good stuff, Dylan. Aaron, I can't see your face, so you got to call it out now. Up, Lauren Laser, come on down. So, Lauren, man, Lauren's awesome. She's one of these guys I call a Bible groupie. She's one of the guys. You know what? You got your band groupies, people that like follow Shawn Mendes with their favorite band and stuff like that. But this kid, she's like a nerd for Jesus, man. She's all about getting into the book, and I love having, like, she always has questions for me Thursday nights after Bible study.
She's just one of those people who is just naturally just drawn to that book and just wants something more than to spend time in it. And you can see that evidently in her life and everything. So, Lauren, I love you so much. She's only been with us for like a year, but just grown leaps and bounds since then. And she's just almost like that lost soul out in the desert looking for that water. And once she got it, man, she just dove all into it. So can't wait to hear what you got for us, babe.
Okay, I'm going to use my big girl voice. I use it at work. So if I end up like screaming in your face, please just give me like, I don't know, thumbs up, thumbs down. Let me know. Okay. So basically something, I'm going to use this. I'm sorry. I can't see. I have horrible eyesight. Okay, so basically something, I'm going to turn this off for now. Basically something the Lord has really been working on me in the past couple months. Zach talked about in youth group, he laid out the body, soul, and spirit, and he laid out that stuff. But he gave a sermon on the flesh and how we shouldn't feed our flesh, we shouldn't be giving into our flesh, and that stuff. And when I heard it, I was like, oh yeah, that's a good message for someone else. Like, I had people in my mind. I was like, yeah, like, I'll go tell them that. Mm-hmm. And then like later on down the line, God just kept bringing up like different little things, and I was like, well, I mean, that could apply to me, but I think it'll apply better to this person. Do stuff like that. But Lord really hit me hard in the past little bit of time where he was like, no, like, this is directly applicable into your life, and it's something you need to change. This is where the flashlight comes in. Sorry. So basically, I tend in my life to like barter or negotiate with my flesh in like every aspect of it. Amen. I sit there, and instead of like turning off my phone, because I know the right thing, I know what I should be doing, but I'm sitting there like scrolling through Instagram, looking at memes or something like that, and I'm like, wow, I could be in my Bible right now. I sit there, I'm like, you know what, God, like, five more minutes, give me five more minutes. Right. And like 5 minutes later, I'm like, well, five more minutes after that, we'll do that. And you know, 5 minutes turns into an hour, turns into, you know, by the end of the day, I'm tired, I don't want to do anything, so I've done nothing for the Lord that day. But it reminds me, I basically live at work, so please excuse my constant like work references. I work with kids, so when you take the kids swimming, and every single time without fail, when I'm like, okay, it's time to get out of the pool, I hear like 20 kids at once, like, already, like, can you give us like two more minutes, like just a little bit more to swim? And sometimes they'll be like, yeah, just go like a little bit longer. And then once that little bit longer is done, no, just a little bit longer than that, and a little bit longer than that. And if I let that go on, heck, they'd be swimming still. And sorry, but that's what happens with our flesh. We give it just that little bit longer, that little bit longer, but our flesh is never satisfied. And dang it, lost my place. But once we begin to negotiate with our flesh, we give into it. I marked all my verses. I'm so sorry. But in Romans, just a second. In Romans 7:18, it says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I mean, I sit there and negotiate with something that is clearly stated in the Bible to be the exact opposite of what I want for my life. I sit there and I give into it, and I give into it instead of investing in things that the Lord has for me. In Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? When I come home from work and I'm exhausted and I tell God, hey, sorry, I'm tired, I want to go to bed, but then I turn on a movie and watch that all night, it happens. that's me giving into my flesh rather than sacrificing that and giving to the Lord instead. And wow, bugs. Why would I want anything to do with that? Your flesh will take hold, expose, and attack your lack of self-control, which I have a problem with. When I negotiate with my flesh, it makes me feel like I'm at Golden Corral. Okay, I'm not sure if you guys have been to Golden Corral, but like, you try a little bit of everything, like, oh, there's some steak over here, some fondue, like stuff like that. But then I get to like the comfort food, like the mashed potatoes and the rolls, and all of a sudden I'm like 10 plates in and I'm ready to go for more. And like, it just never stops. Like, I could eat mashed potatoes and gravy for days, And every time I do that, I take it way further than I should. And then the whole ride home, I'm like curled up in a ball in the back seat because I can't move because I've eaten so much. It never stops. However, I had to realize that serving my flesh never pays off. Every time I've messed up and made a mistake or sinned for a long time in my life, I've never looked back and said, well, I mean, it worked out kind of well in the end. Like, every single time it's led to, like, the exact opposite of what I want it to be. And in Romans 6:6, I don't know why I didn't mark that one. 6:6, it says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. If you are saved today, which I know some of you have made that decision this week. Oh, Zach, sorry. Just knocked your phone off. But your master over your life has changed. You're no longer serving the devil. You're no longer serving the world. You should be serving God with everything you have. And as soon as I start to negotiate with my flesh and give in to that, I'm doing the exact opposite of what he saved me for. I'm going right back to that old nature that I had. I don't know about you, but I sure don't want my only excuse for not knowing more about my Lord and Savior, who literally gave it all to be with me. I don't want my only excuse to be like, well, I was really busy, or I didn't have time that day, or I was exhausted. I came home from work, I was tired, I just wanted some time to myself. I need to start doing what 1 Corinthians 9:17 says. It says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. What is really going to last is not the Snapchats, movies, memes, whatever you call it. It won't be the fun stuff I did or the places I went in the summertime. It's going to be my walk with the Lord and my ministry for the Lord. Nothing else matters at the end of it all. But in the end, it is ultimately your choice. You can be a Christian and live for the world all you want. I don't recommend it, but you can. but it is your choice. In 1 Corinthians 10:21, it says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. You have to choose today. Make camp your deciding point to stop serving your flesh and start serving the Lord more. Or stop making those little sacrifices to serve your flesh and start turning that into an opportunity to grow your relationship with the Lord. I'm going to leave you with this. The Bible says in Joshua 24:15, to paraphrase, it says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Like I said, you can't do both. So what I have to do is decide today, this day, am I going to serve my flesh? And am I going to have an off day? Or am I going to go all four for the Lord? That way I have no reason to say, Lord, I haven't fought a good fight. I haven't lived my life for you. Because I don't know about you, but at the judgment seat of Christ, I don't want to stand there and be like, well, I mean, I tried. I don't think I actually got there. But like, I made an effort like every other day, once a week, something like that. No, I want it to be exactly what Paul says, is I fought a good fight. I've ran my race. I've done all I can. And that's all.
Good job, Chris. Help us out. We've got a on-hand Paul Bunyan out here. So, our next one has by far, you know, been with us the longest. She's, her family's been with Bob for a long time and everything. And I've loved getting to know her and her little sister and just all the time we've gotten to spend together and just watching her grow as a great leader in our youth group. Lauren Brackeen, come on out here. Lauren, do you need me to hold anything for you? You got the phone?
Yeah, I
got the notion. Cool. All right, guys. Go ahead, Lauren.
I'm Lauren. And at the prayer meeting, I talked about my favorite camp devotion, and that was the third year camp. It was the one done by Angela in 2 Timothy 1:7. And my other favorite devotion that year was done by Judy Schmidt over James 3:5-10. So I'm just going to explain those verses and talk about why they meant so much to me. So James 3:5 says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And that last part that says, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, I had to really think about that because the wording seemed kind of complicated and just confused me. And so a good illustration of that would be like when you're camping and start a fire, just like we're doing here. We all sit around and talk until the fire is pretty much dead, and then we'd go to bed. But if everyone goes to bed without properly putting out that fire, there can be even the tiniest spark that's left, and so wind can come and start up a whole new fire. And when flames get big, they really become hard to put out. And another example of this would be like the ones in California. They started small, but now they've spread and they're out of our control. The words I speak can do the same thing. Nobody's here to monitor every word that comes out of my mouth and everything I say. And sometimes what I say isn't exactly what I mean. And that's why it's so important for me to think before I speak. Even the smallest of things can be blown into something big and be difficult to shut down, just like a fire. Verse 6 says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that is, defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on the fire of hell." This starts out saying that our tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. In other words, a world full of sin. And my tongue, which would be the words that I say, affects my entire body, and that would be the world. And together, these can set me on a course full of bad attitudes, insecurities, depression, and all the other things that fit into those categories. The things that I say don't only affect me, and oftentimes in ways that I don't even realize, I can set someone on the course of heaven or hell simply by the words coming out of my mouth, which would be my testimony. Verse 7 says, "For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed, and have been tamed of mankind." People can tame all these things. The animals can be caged, they can be struck down, put to rest, but nobody can ever put my tongue to rest. The only person who can control the words that come out of my mouth is me. Verse 8 says, "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." So again, my mouth can't be stopped. I'm the only person on this earth who controls what I say. And those who don't control what they say are said to have an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And that being said, I can't just speak less. I have to really be careful of what comes out of my mouth. Verses 9 and 10 say, "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so be." So we all have that friend who acts one way around our parents and another way around us. And bless we God, but curse we men is labeling that act. A saved person who acts one way at school and another at church can't have the testimony they need to have. An unsaved person will pick up real quickly on anyone who has two separate personalities, and that person would no longer be able to be witnessed to because of that poor choice. Before Judy gave this devotion, she gave us each a tiny tube of toothpaste, a toothpick, and a plate. And she had us squeeze all the toothpaste out onto the plate. And then we had like a minute or two to try to put it back with the toothpick. And that's obviously an impossible thing to do because like you can't put the toothpaste back in the bottle. And then after we all tried that, she told us that that was a representation of the words coming out of our mouths. Whether they're good or bad, they're typically impossible to take back because someone heard it. Someone's going to remember what you said forever. And you don't know how it will impact them, the way that apologizing to someone won't just make a situation disappear. And this was my favorite camp devotion that year because it was something that's really hard to do, and it's a great challenge because we all use words every day and you don't always think about what's coming out of your mouth. And that's a difficult thing to really like think about. And ending Psalms 141:3 says, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips." And that's it.
Amen. All right, well, my next one here is one of my favorite kids that we've had that's joined us here recently. Corinne Hughes, come on up here. You know, Caleb was coaching a team with Sarah and Carolyn's dad, Chris, and we ended up running across Corinne that way, and she got interested in coming to check us out one New Year's Eve, and she's been with us ever since. And man, it's been a blessing to have you, so I can't wait to hear what you got to give us, buddy.
Thank you.
Love you.
Okay, so I will also be going old school.
Today I'm going to be talking about control. Since the theme of camp is like overcoming, control of things is something I struggle with daily. It's something I've struggled with in my Christian life and everyday things. A little background on myself and my control issues. Growing up, I had a lot of childhood stuff come up that I didn't have control over, mostly with like decisions my parents made or circumstances that happened to me that I just had no control over. And it really beats you down when there's things you want to be able to do, but you have like, you can't do them because there's basically nothing you can do because you have no control over them. What made me want to talk about this was the reality check of growing up. I'm not one to like put my trust into others easily or letting someone else take the wheel for me. This is more like, I see it as like, this is my life, this is my body, then I'm going to be the one to do things. Like, my motto growing up was like, if you want something done, then you're going to have to do it yourself, because every time I've ever relied on anybody else, you know, they've always let me down, or it's always like, I have to pick up the slack or something like that. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." This is one of those verses that you read 100 times and you're like, oh my goodness, that's such a good verse. But then you never apply it or take it further, or you put it and use it the way that the Lord wants you to. This verse is telling us that you don't need to be afraid of the circumstances that happen, because the Lord is in control of your life and he'll uphold thee with his right hand of righteousness. Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." When you come to the realization that God is in control, you gain this like extreme peace throughout your life, that it's like rest and reassurance. Like, you always know that things are going to be okay, like no matter what the situation. Like, I used to be like the typical control freak. Like, anytime a situation would happen, I'd automatically panic and go like out of my mind. But realizing that God is in control of your life and there's some things you can't control, and you have your trust in him, it makes the situation so much easier, because you can just like be like, okay, no matter what happens, I know it's only gonna end up good. It's only gonna like, it may seem bad now, but like once you get a new perspective on it, it's always gonna end up being good or strengthening you in some way. As humans, we need a lot of reassurance, and the Lord knows that. So that's why he gives us verses like Romans 8:37-39, which is, one of them is our memory verses for today. And it says, oh, I can't recite it anymore. reassurance that nothing can separate us from Christ and his love. Colossians 1:17 says, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." In this verse, the Lord's reassuring us that he is in control. He's the creator of everything, and everything consists by him. And he is before all things, so he knows the outcome of every situation that we're ever put in before it even plays out. So that right there should let you know that literally you have to put your trust in him, because he already knows how it's going to end up when you don't. When you're as stubborn and hard-headed as I am, you'll have a lot of back and forth going through this process. A lot of like, okay, Lord, I trust you and your timing in the situation. But then when the Lord doesn't work on my agenda, or he's not working quick enough for me in a certain situation, I'll end up trying to figure out the situation by myself, and it's just an endless circle of me going back to like, okay, Lord, I'm gonna trust you again, and then you go back to like, okay, maybe I really can figure out the situation by myself. But the theme, since it's overcoming, this is just like Danny talked about yesterday, you're gonna end up struggling and falling, but the key is getting back up and fighting. So even though I keep falling with understanding that the Lord is in control, the only point is like just getting back up and fighting. And certain things you don't have control over in your life, just remember, anytime you fall or make a mistake, just keep getting back up and fighting, because it's only going to make you stronger, and it's only going to make you grow closer to the Lord. So finishing up, I just want to thank everybody who has helped me in growing in my relationship with the Lord, and because of them, I've gotten to the place where I'm comfortable with understanding that the Lord is in control. Amen. And that's all I have.
All right, guys, the last kid up tonight. You saw him grace the monkey bars unlike anyone other. One of my favorite guys to hang out with and talk with. You know, we got the same musical heart and everything like that. And just, he's a fun guy to get into the Bible with also. And Logan, it's been so awesome just to watch what God's done with you. And how you've even taken that. I remember that there was a time ago, a couple of years back, and I hope he doesn't get embarrassed by me saying this, but he was looking for camaraderie and friendship with his friends at school. And one of the heart-to-hearts we had, he was saying, you know, I'm bending over backwards trying to be nice to these folks and, like, reach out to them, and none of my relationships with friends at school are really working out or sticking. And lo and behold, look what God brought you, man. You know, you were faithful, and you stayed with it, and look what God did for you, bro. And I just thank you for being faithful, and God will always be faithful to us. So, Logan, thanks for your testimony, just how you've helped us out in the youth group by being a good leader and just a good friend and just holding the line. So, Logan, come on up here and share what God's given you, and can't wait to hear that, man.
All right, so, yeah, my name is Logan. I've been going to Old Paths for about 10 years now, ever since I was 8 years old. And this is my first time, like, really giving a devotion without having anything written down, so just bear with me. I just want to talk about a verse that really means a lot to me. The theme of camp this year, if you've been paying attention at all, is overcoming. And there's a verse in 1 John 4:4, I think it says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So, basically, I've been coming to camp ever since there was a camp, and I feel like a lot of times I come to camp in the exact same spot that I was in last year. I come to camp, I get right with God, I get on fire for the Lord and have all these grandioso plans of how I'm going to carry all this stuff out, but then it seems like at the end of each year when I come back here, I'm in the exact same spot that I left in. And I want to talk about the reason for that. And my goal here is to just persuade you to take the same steps that I plan on taking. So basically the reason that I have always come back to camp in the same spot that I'm in is because I get complacent. So what does that mean? That means that I'm just okay with the way that things are, and I just let the world swallow me up. It's really easy to, I mean, honestly, I don't think it's that hard to say, like, you know, no to drugs, like the really big things that you come into your life, when you grow up in church, at least. When I grew up in church, I've always been told, you know, stay away from drugs, stay away from alcohol, stay away from, you know, all that kind of stuff. And for me, that's easy. So that might be different for some of you, but for me, the big stuff is easy. What's really hard for me and the thing that I struggle with every day is just the little things. And when you allow yourself that daily portion, when you give that daily portion to your flesh, like Lauren said, your flesh is never going to be satisfied. Your flesh is always going to want more. Bob always says, and I just think it's so funny when he says this, if you give the devil an inch, he'll take the whole ruler. And when you allow something into your life, whether it be, you know, watching movies that you shouldn't, watching funny YouTube videos that might be inappropriate, or, I mean, just things that we do on a daily basis that we try and justify to ourselves. Well, I live in the world. I can't get away from it. So why not just embrace it? And when you embrace that, and when you allow those little things back into your life, then you're not going to be able to overcome the world. You're not going to be able to overcome what's in the world because you're allowing it to happen. And I grew up in Raytown. I mean, Raytown's, I mean, not the best place to live. It's not the worst place to live either. And, my gosh. But, like, there's people at my school that if you were to talk to them, they've given up on life. And the reason that they've given up on life is because they want to blame somebody else for their problems. There's nobody to blame for your problems but yourself. And when you take that victim status, like what we've been talking about at camp, when you're a victim instead of a victor, it's like there is no sin anymore. It's somebody else's fault every single time. And I'm very fortunate. I've been in church since I was 8 years old. My parents have money. My parents are both together. They have a good job. I have a good house. I have nothing I should be complaining about. And there's plenty of other people that I go to school with that are homeless. Their parents do drugs. And the reason that they are not successful in life is because they blame the situation. While the situation might not be their fault in the first place, you can't help what cards you were dealt when you were born. But what you can help is how you deal with the situation. And, all right, how many of you have seen Medea Goes to Jail? Okay. So it's a really funny movie, but there's a really cool part in it that I like. And Medea is sitting in jail, and she's sitting with the preacher lady. And this girl basically says, you don't know what my father did to me. I can't forgive him. And I'm in here because of him. And really, Medea just says, honey, the only reason that you're in here is because of yourself. Did your dad put you in jail? Did your dad make you do all of this stuff? No. The only person you have to blame for your problems is yourself. And I know that seems a little bit harsh and like, oh, this is supposed to be a warm, fuzzy feeling that we get. But, you know, it's something that I struggle with, and it's something that really, I'm just preaching to myself. I'm not preaching to anybody else about this. It's something that I need to work on. And really, the way that you are able to overcome those things in the world, the Bible says that you're able to overcome those things. The Bible doesn't say, if you're a certain type of person, it even says little children. You're of God, little children. So even little children like us, who are just babies in the sight of God, we have the power to overcome the Lord because He's inside of us. Amen. And when we take the back seat and we say, the world is so big, how can I possibly fight against it? Then you're already losing. I took debate class my freshman year, and really the only thing that I really learned from that was someone was giving an oratory one time. And they said, to not decide is clearly to decide. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that means when you decide not to make a decision, you've already chose what you're going to do. When you say, I'm not going to do anything about it, I'm just going to let the world swallow me up, you're deciding against God. That's not you just sitting on your hands and just saying, well, I'm just going to let whatever happens, happens. Because that's making a decision. You've made a decision in your life by saying that you're going to go against the Bible and go against God and let the world swallow you up. And that's not the way that we should be living. So it's just a thing where I just want to persuade you guys to really think about that and understand that the Bible says that we are able to conquer those things. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy. You're definitely not going to be able to do it by yourself. And that's why I love what Bob talked about tonight, because it really just set everything up that you need people in your life to help you. He went over that story in Exodus where Moses is holding up his hands. I tried to do that one time. And I could only hold up my hands for about 5 minutes, and then my arms were ready to fall off. You need people in your life that are going to help you, because you can't deal with those things on your own. You need guidance in your life. And the thing about it is you have to take that first step. Nobody else is going to take that first step for you. You have to be the one that's going to take that step. And if you're not going to do it for yourself, then do it for the other people around you. Because if I know if somebody hadn't stepped up and done what they needed to do, then I wouldn't be at this church today. And I know that a lot of you can probably say the same thing. I am coming to this church because of what the Brackeens have done for my family. And if they would have just looked at us and said, let them figure it out on their own, I don't know where I would be today. I don't know where my dad would be today. I don't know what my life would look like. I don't know where I would be right at this moment, or if I would even be alive. But what I do know is that it's not just about us. It's about the people around us. And I know that I don't want to be the reason why somebody goes to hell because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Because that's the only thing, that's what our job is here. And our job is to save people and to tell them about the gospel and about the word of God. And if we're making the decision to let the world consume us, then we're doing those people a disservice who are unsaved. And we're just watching them go to hell. And I just pray and I hope that you can take what I say here today just as a warning, and that we can all help try and apply these four anchors into our lives. I'm so excited to figure out what the next anchor is, because I really want to apply these things into my life. Because every year I come to camp and I'm in the exact same spot because I let the world swallow me up. When the Bible tells me that I'm able to overcome those things, but I think I'm not able to. So that's all I have for you guys, and I hope you got a blessing out of it.
All right, guys. The last thing we'll do is we'll sing a couple of verses of My Anchor Holds, but we'll sing it a little bit more mellow than we do in the sanctuary. I want to make a couple of announcements so that when we leave here, you guys know what's going on. Number one, everybody that has to take medicine at night, head up to the cafeteria. If you don't, you will then have about 20 minutes of free time left. Get ready, get your stuff, move towards your places where you do your devotions. Girls will be in the gym, guys will be in our first bunk. We'll cram up in there like sardines like we normally do. But go ahead and stand on your feet. We'll close out by singing just a couple of verses of My Anchor Holds. Then we'll break and we'll be out of here, guys. Here we go. Though the angry surges roll on my tempest-driven soul, I am peaceful for I know, wildly though the winds may blow, an anchor safe and sure that will never more end. Last verse, troubles almost whelm the soul. Troubles almost whelm the soul. Griefs like billows o'er me roll. Tempters seek to lure astray. Storms obscure the light of day. But in Christ I can be bold. I've an anchor that shall hold, and it holds my anchor hold. Though your wildest thin, oh gale, on my heart so small and frail, by His grace I shall not fail, for my anchor guys, we got 20 minutes and we'll meet up for devotion.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.